3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Hope you had a great weekend. Happy to be back. And what was a very exciting weekend of Seattle Mariners baseball. A crazy weekend. The Mariners taking 2 of 3 from the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll dive into that here in just a second. Some highlights coming your way, including in those long home runs, strikeouts, and a triple play, which was beyond bizarre. So that comes up in a few minutes. We'll talk about the weekend. Thriller of a game yesterday. It goes into extra innings, so we'll dive into that as the Mariners take 2 of 3 from the Jays. Exciting 3 days at Safeco Field starting tonight as the Mariners take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I'm looking forward to this series. Paul Goldschmidt, who's one of the premier players in Major League Baseball right now, he's going to be at Safeco Field the next 3 days. Also, Jake Lamb, former University of Washington product, local product, is a third baseman for Arizona, so he'll be in. That's exciting. Always fun to see a local kid do well. And so that's coming up as well. We're not going to dive into that too much. This podcast is jam full. There's so much stuff that a lot of it's going to overflow into tomorrow, because otherwise this would be a 4-hour podcast, and that's just entirely too long. So here's what else we have on top of going over the weekend is – yesterday, a big day for Major League Baseball. Hall of Fame Day is always a big day for Major League Baseball, and especially big for the Seattle Mariners and Seattle Mariners fans when one of their own goes in. And Randy Johnson goes into the Hall of Fame yesterday, and we're going to celebrate his inclusion in the Hall of Fame. There's a montage I put together coming your way of his Seattle Mariner highlights. I hope you enjoy that. On the heels of that, you'll hear some of Randy Johnson's Hall of Fame speech yesterday. You'll hear the very beginning of the speech on through him talking about his time in Seattle. And finally, we're going to end with, I think of all the audio I play, which is a lot, all the Mariners audio I have, which is a ton, this is probably my favorite, and it's the Dave Niehaus Hall of Fame speech. It's a Hall of Fame speech. I'm sure many of you have heard it. For those that haven't, it is a treat to listen to, because it's a speech that it's a grand slam, or a grand salami, as Dave would say himself. He knocks it out of the park. It's heartfelt. It has humor. He chronicles his journey, and it's just tremendous. It's the best Hall of Fame speech I've ever heard. Granted, I'm biased when it comes to Dave Niehaus, but I think it truly is the best Hall of Fame speech I've ever heard. So that comes up at the very end of the podcast as we celebrate Randy Johnson going into the Hall of Fame. A little bit more tomorrow on that, too. Trainer Rick Griffin, who is very close to Randy Johnson, obviously, in his time here. Shannon Dreyer, a chance to catch up with Rick Griffin. That's going to come up tomorrow, and they'll talk a little bit more about Randy Johnson. So that comes up as well. But right now, let's talk about this weekend. And what was a wild, crazy, wacky weekend against the Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays, a team that scores a massive amount of runs. They're the leader in baseball in terms of runs scored. And really, it's not even close. It's actually shocking how far ahead they are in runs scored in Major League Baseball. They scored 528 runs this year. That is 78 runs ahead of the next team, the New York Yankees, who have scored 450. That's just remarkable. And you can see why. Watch Toronto for any length of time, and that middle of the order is deadly and damaging. They swing hard. They hit everything hard. And the Mariners, their work cut out for them, especially, and this is part of the context of the series, the bullpen especially had to work so hard in Detroit. 16 innings pitched by the bullpen in Detroit. They really had to labor in that series. And that would become a factor in this series as well, as a couple of starters really struggled in this one. Bullpen had to go very deep in this series, and then throw in an extra inning game, and it was tough. But Friday, Felix Hernandez on the hill, Kings Court rolling. The atmosphere was sensational. A sellout crowd, fireworks after the game, sing-along fireworks, everyone belting out the music. It was just an electric, fun night at Safeco Field with Felix on the hill. And Felix, well, he delivered.
Here's the 0-2 pitch to Reyes. Swing and a miss, and down he goes. A devastating changeup that fell off the table. Reyes swinging, turned into a top as he comes up empty. And that is the inning. The King, his seventh punch-out of the ball game. And with that strikeout as well, he passes the great Fernando Valenzuela on the all-time strikeout list.
I just shake my head. I really do when it comes to Felix Hernandez. And we'll talk more about this coming up in the days ahead. But it's just, it was one of those games after the fact that, I mean, Fernando Valenzuela, who spent 17 years in the big league and had an awesome career, not a Hall of Famer, but a very good career, a long career, especially early in his career, was just tremendous. Fernando Mania, the whole thing. And here's Felix, 29 years old, and he's passing him on the all-time strikeout list. I just shake my head, the names he associates himself with on all these lists. And it happened once again, another quality start. I talked about that number recently, too, that I was looking at quality starts and quality start percentage. And coming into this start, he had a quality start percentage of 68.6 in his career. 68.6 of his starts have been quality starts in his career. If you look at starters since 1920 with at least 300 starts, that is third best in history. Tom Seaver, Mel Stottlemyre, the first two. Felix is third, and he's ahead. Right behind him, Bob Gibson at 68%. You have Randy Johnson that just went into the Hall of Fame. You have Pedro Martinez that just went into the Hall of Fame. And you have Don Drysdale. That's the list. And he throws another quality start, another tremendous start against a team that can swing it like the Blue Jays. And Felix ends up giving up just one earned run in seven strong innings of work. Just dealing once again. The King at Safeco Field, where he continues to dominate. And he got some offensive support. The Blue Jays rotation rolling coming in. They had really pitched well in their past six. They had a 40-inning streak without giving up a home run. But that was swiftly put away by Mark Trumbo.
The 1-0 pitch to Trumbo on the way. Swing and a fly ball into right field and deep going back. Bautista to the warning track near the wall. Leaps up and it's gone. Goodbye baseball. Just beyond the reach of Jose Bautista into the front row. Mark Trumbo, a jumbo home run for the Mariners. It gives the Mariners a 2-1 lead here in the bottom of the fourth.
And then in the fifth inning, Robinson Cano continues to scorch.
The 1-0 pitch. Cano with a swing and a line drive. Into the gap in right center field. Extra bases. Seager will score from third. Cruz around to third. He's going to be waved in. Up of the ball. Pilar with the throw in. Cut off by Travis. Relay to the plate. Not in time. Scoring is Cruz with a slide. Two runs are in. And Cano around to third with a two-run triple.
So Mariners take game one 5-2. Felix was sensational. The M's get the win. Game two of the series was looking good. Robinson Cano knocked a three-run blast out in the bottom of the fourth inning. The Mariners scored in the first, second, third, and fourth. They constructed a 6-3 lead against the Blue Jays. It was an interesting ball game. Jay Happ, who hadn't walked more than three guys in a game this season, walked four in the second inning and hit a batter. And he couldn't get out of the frame. Nuno, Wilhelmsen, they go long. But the Mariners able to take a two-run lead into the eighth. But Fernando Rodney coughs up another home run. Carson Smith gives up two runs in the ninth inning. And the Blue Jays come from behind, a heartbreaker. They won game two of the series by a final of 8-6. The Mariners' offense continued to sizzle, but it wasn't enough to take game two of the series, which took us to game three of the series. So this for the series, Mariners and Blue Jays, game three. And again, it was the long ball for the M's. This was a game that was going back and forth. We'll talk about Taijuan Walker more in a second. But Toronto scores one in the first, three in the second inning. Mariners with one in the first, two in the third. Toronto one more in the seventh. So Toronto's up by two in the seventh inning when Nelson Cruz absolutely demolishes a pitch.
Here's the pitch.
Big swing, and this is a home run. Oh, my goodness. It's up to the second deck. Nelson Cruz, we are all tied up in the seventh.
Nelson Cruz, two-run blast. Boy, that was a blast. An upper deck job, and that one was tied. Taijuan Walker started this game, and there was no margin for error. The Mariners' bullpen, so short. Nuno couldn't go. He threw over 40 pitches. Well, Helmsen couldn't go. He threw over 40 pitches. Carson Smith had thrown five out of the last 7 days, all unavailable. Lloyd McClendon wanted to stay away from Joe Bimel because of his workload as of late. I mean, it left not much in the bullpen remaining. So when you saw Toronto score one in the first, three in the second, scary with Walker really laboring in the first couple of innings, but he made a key adjustment in the ballgame. He hadn't thrown more than eight curveballs in any single start this year. He ends up throwing 24 curveballs in the game against the Blue Jays. That was the adjustment. He kept them off balance. He kept them quiet. He hung zeros on the board the rest of the way. The third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth. He ends up going six innings, gives up six hits, four runs, three earned, three walks, six strikeouts. I know it doesn't jump off the page, but that was an excellent start. The adjustment outstanding, especially for a young pitcher, and key to the victory. Now, he also got some help along the way. In the fourth inning, a bizarre, unusual, weird, strange, and hard to believe unless you were there to see it play in the fourth inning. A leadoff walk, and then a base hit by Pilar. There are runners on the corners with nobody down. Keep in mind, the Blue Jays already four runs on the board in the fourth inning. They have a lead in the fourth inning, so this is trouble with runners on the corners and nobody down. And then this happened.
Here's the stretch and the 1-2 pitch. Here she comes. Swinging a ground ball to first. Up with the ball is Trumbo. Steps on the bank for one. A throw down to second to Miller. Now they've got Pilar in a rundown, but here comes the runner off the bag at third. Miller running right at that runner, Carrera. Now Carrera's in a rundown. Over to the catcher, Zunino. Zunino will run Carrera to the bag and also is there, Pilar. And he's tagging everybody. Somebody is out. And out is both of them. They get them both. Holy smokes. They get them both. Goins is out at first. As Carrera went back to the bag, he was the guy who was going to be safe. Out at third was Pilar in the round at third. And then Carrera fell off the bag. And then Zunino just kept tagging everybody. And I think we have a triple play. We have a triple play. Unbelievable.
The only thing missing from that highlight was circus music, because that was crazy. And Rick Riz able to keep up with it the whole time. I mean, a triple play to end the inning. It goes down in the book as 3-6-2, but way more complicated than that when you saw it play out. But, you know, you look back on it now, not only is it, you know, fun, the 11th triple play in Mariners history, a novelty, because you never see those, but it was huge for the ball game. Blue Jays threatening and then turned away in that inning. It's huge because this game would go to extra innings. Before we get there, though, Miller was fantastic getting the triple play. And in terms of just doing what you're supposed to do, when you have a runner kind of in between, you're supposed to charge at him and get him to commit going one way or another. And preferably it's back to their base, so they don't advance a base in case they're safe. But that's exactly what he did. He charged Correa, got him to commit, and that's when it all went down. And here was what happened from Miller's perspective.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job, obviously, touching the base and then looking back, the runner at third. And then we had him in a little pickle and just figured, you know, I wanted to get the guy at third. He was already far enough off, so I wanted him to get him to commit and, you know, got him to commit one way, and they finished it off.
Yeah. Is it pretty textbook for you? I mean, is that the stuff that you – I mean, obviously the third out isn't
running. I think once I chose to go get that runner, you know, I knew, okay, because he was kind of in no man's land. I just had to get him to go one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew – kind of it was in my hands, I guess, at that point. So I just wanted to run him one way, you know, and then pass it off, get it to the next guy.
And they both get over there, and Zunino starts tagging everybody. Okay. When yeah. do you know that, okay,
yeah,
that's
awesome.
Everybody.
Yeah, just, you know, push everybody off the base. No, yeah, I mean, I really didn't. I knew we had one of them, obviously, but I wasn't sure how it was gonna unfold.
How would you sum up this series? I mean, obviously, you saw a lot of different things happen. Mm-hmm. Some long games, some
yeah.
of offense.
We won.
Had some hits today. And...
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome. You know, we won a series against a team that can really swing it. I mean, they just keep coming at you. And I thought Taiwan did a great job of battling and stretching out his start. You know, I think he could have gave in to him, but I think he really toughed it out and went a couple extra innings.
Gutierrez steps up to the plate and
he's awesome.
Days ago.
Yeah, he's our favorite player. He's unbelievable. Yeah, just so strong and so just under control up there. I think that was pretty sweet.
Absolutely. So this is a scenario. It goes to extra innings, of course, because that's the last thing the Mariners bullpen needed. Joe Beimel pitches the 10th. Again, Lloyd McClendon really wanted to stay away from Beimel. Fernando Rodney, the last man standing in the bullpen. Everyone else not available. Mark Lowe ends up going two big innings in this ballgame as well. Tip of the cap to him. He's pitched a lot recently as well. So Fernando Rodney is warming up. He was going to come in next, and he was really the last guy available to pitch in this ballgame. So it really became desperation time in the 10th inning to win this one, because you just don't want to get in a situation where really, after Rodney, you're throwing a position player out there. I mean, that's what they were staring at, that kind of scenario. But they didn't have to, because Franklin Gutierrez, he was the hero in Detroit a couple days ago, and he does it once again, lands the big blow in the 10th inning.
And Luke's 0-2 swing, and this is punished. Left center field, might have carry out. There it goes! Franklin Gutierrez, a walk-off homer. He'll touch them all. And watch out, Goody, they're coming for you. Goody loses the helmet. Cruz greets them. Everybody else, it's a dog pile at home plate. Mariners win it at 10. It's 6-5 in the final.
Yeah, this is one they can feel good about. They win it in 10. They take the series. Franklin Gutierrez walk-off does it in style. A very impressive win against a good, hard-hitting Blue Jays team. And here's what Franklin Gutierrez said after the ball game about it.
You know, it was very exciting, man. I think every time when I go out there and you do something for your team, and you help them to win, it's just great. So that's what happened today.
You step up to the plate, and obviously you did this earlier, and you said that you were just so relaxed. I mean, is that going to carry over in that situation for you?
Yeah, I mean, I had two strikes on that moment, and obviously you have to try to put the ball on play. And, you know, I was ready for anything. He threw me a fastball right there, put a good swing on it, and, you know, it just went out.
You knew it was gone right away? Looked like you were pumping the fist.
Yeah, pretty much. I knew I hit it really good, but, you know, this ballpark, you never know. Hit it for, you know, to the deepest part of the park. And but as soon as I hit the base, and first base, I knew the ball was out. So it was pretty exciting.
Given this last week, how much do you reflect on kind of all you've been through and how you got back to this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of hard work, man. Just like I say, it's a lot of things that have been going on the past 2 or 3 months. And, you know, I'm just glad that I'm here again. And, you know, they gave me the opportunity to play against lefties and try to do my job. And, you know, it's just been amazing for me.
How difficult is it for you to get ready when you're going to be a starter in a game?
No, I mean, I'm doing my routine, normal routine. I think the way they're using me right now is the way that I'm feeling fine just against lefties right now. So, you know, I'm really glad that I'm preparing myself to play pretty much every day, even if I take one at bat at night. That's the way they're using me, and I'm fine with it.
Are you exceeding the expectation you had for yourself this season, maybe going back to spring, or was there an expectation?
Well, when I came to spring, I wasn't expecting anything. You know, I just wanted to know if I was able to play a game. And as soon as the spring training went and the season, you know, I knew that I was feeling better and better and better. So here we are again in the big leagues, and you know, doing the job.
So back in spring training, you weren't sure?
Yeah, I wasn't sure at all. I wasn't sure at all, and you know, I just decided just to keep going, and you know, this is a reward for me.
The way you're swinging the bat right now, is that comparable to another time? I mean, this is pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you have experience also counts on this, and just try to go up there and be relaxed on every pitch, not trying to do too much, and you see the ball and put a good swing.
After you crossed home plate, it looked like they were celebrating, then everybody kind of backed off.
Yeah, I heard somebody saying, that, hey, don't hurry. So, yeah, I think, you know, it was great, man. It's the first time that I hit a walk-off homer, and, you know, it was pretty exciting.
You got to feel great for Gutierrez, and we talked about that last week as well, just how much he has gone through to get to this point. And here he is playing hero once again in the late stages, dropping the home run and winning the game for the Mariners. You feel great for him. Feel great for the Mariners as well, getting the win. Here's what Mike Zunino had to say after the ball game as well. Mike Zunino, of course, was part of that triple play. And Mike Zunino had a tremendous series. A six-game hitting streak now for Zunino, 9 for his last 20, 4 doubles, 4 ribbies, batting .450 in that span, playing his great defense as well. That's been outstanding to see.
I'm just trying to stick to my approach, and I'm trying to keep things simple. And I'm just trying to barrel balls up and let it get deep. And right now I'm feeling all right. So hopefully I can continue on these, and hopefully can continue on the next couple series.
We saw something I don't think I've seen before, that triple play. That was something. And you're seeing it all kind of unfold in front of you. Kind of tell us in your eyes what you saw there and how important communication was in that.
Yeah, I know Brad did a good job of reading that play, not giving rid of the ball too early. Made him commit one way. And he gave it on to me, and Pilar ended up going to third. So at that situation, I saw Seager just tell me to run to the bag. That situation, you just got to tag them both. And you tag them both, and luckily the wrong guy stepped off, and I held the tag on him. And we were just able to turn a triple play, which is pretty special.
Did you know the minute he kind of fell, you had him, you had the extra, and it was a triple play?
Yeah. You don't believe it when you see it because it was not the conventional triple play. So it's one of those where you see it happen like that. It's fun. It was big for us in that inning.
Crazy game. So the Mariners back at it tonight at Safeco Field. Arizona's in town. This should be a good one. This is going to be a good series. And then a chance, you know, their bullpen's still not in great shape, so they could really use Montgomery giving them some innings. And then you have Iwakuma and Felix Day Baseball on Wednesday. This would be a great series to see all three starters go 7+. We'll see. Give the bullpen a breather. It's easier said than done. Arizona has some really special players. I mentioned already Goldschmidt, who's having really a ridiculous year. I mean, it's amazing what he's doing. We don't get to see him that often in the American League, obviously. But, you know, I think everyone is generally aware of how good he is. But when you lay out the numbers and the things he is doing, it's almost hard to believe. He's batting .345 this year. He hits 21 homers, 74 RBIs. He's slugging .603. His on-base percentage is .462. He's drawn 79 walks. He's cracked 24 doubles. And here's the part that you read those numbers, you never really get to this part. He's also swiped 17 bases. He is literally doing it all. He's been amazing. And the other guy on their team that's really having a special season, and I don't think he gets a ton of attention in American League cities, but he's having a great year. AJ Pollock for Arizona. If you haven't heard of him, he's their center fielder, and he's having a monster season. Batting .306 this year. He's stolen 22 bags as well. 11 homers. He's driven in 44. He's 21 doubles as well, but he's a guy that can really hit and someone that the Mariners are going to have to pay attention to as well. So those are the two guys the Mariners will really have to watch. They face a tough lefty tonight as well. So that'll be fun from Safeco Field. Now, right now, we're going to continue with our Hall of Fame celebration. Randy Johnson going into the Hall of Fame. So here's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear the Randy Johnson montage. You know, I always celebrate everything in montage. So this is his Mariners career. Then you're going to hear the beginning of his speech on through him talking about his time with the Mariners, his Hall of Fame speech from yesterday, and then the Dave Niehaus speech to top things off. Enjoy.
A final member of the class of 15 struck fear in the hearts of most anyone who dared enter a batter's box against him. Randy Johnson, welcome to Cooperstown.
The big guy is ready to come back with a 1-2 pitch and a 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss! He's done it! Randy Johnson has braved the eighth inning. And he has just struck out his 11th man. An amazing performance by the big unit. He is one strike away from the shutout, his seventh consecutive victory, his 288th strikeout of the year, and his 11th of the night. And everybody is up, pulling for the big unit to do it with his brand, with his K. 1-2 pitch on the way, swing, and a miss, and it's over. And he did it. He put it right on the rump of the old steer and burned it right in there.
We were all a little rough around the edges when I got here. I had a bad haircut, could throw really hard, but couldn't throw strikes.
Presenting El Rando Grando.
Johnny Crack fanning himself off. Johnson has had pitches clocked at as much as 102 miles per hour in Major League play.
Look at the next step. I don't blame John one bit.
He bailed out again at the breaking ball.
He wants no part of Randy Johnson.
On a June night at the Kingdom in 1990, the big unit wrote his first chapter in the Mariners' history book.
A man all alone with himself, but not all alone here, as 24,000 incredibly rabid Mariner fans are looking for that final strike. That will set Mariner history. Here comes the left-hander's wind. The 0-2 pitch on the way. Swing! It's over! He has done it! High fastball, Randy Johnson being mobbed. Randy Johnson with the first Mariner no-hitter in history, and they are going crazy. Everybody saluting the tallest man to ever put on a uniform in the history of baseball.
Within about 3 or 4 years, I grew with confidence and control, and that's one reason why Seattle has a big place in my heart, because you, the fans, got to see the unpolished version, and then towards the middle of my career here, you were starting to see what the possibilities were when I could start throwing strikes.
And everybody up looking for another strikeout, and Randy's wind, the 0-2 pitch on the way to Bellhorn. Strike three, call, and there's 19. So Randy Johnson, a sizzling fastball right on the inside corner to Bellhorn. Only Steve Carlton, Tom Seaver, and David Cohn have 19, and that is a new American League record by a left-hander.
Randy joined the 300 strikeout club in 1993 with this strikeout of Ruben Sierra on the way to 308 for the season.
And the fans can smell it. They are upstanding, ready to explode should Randy Johnson slip a strike by Ruben Sierra. Sitting right on the precipice of history is Randy. The 2-2 pitch, swing and a miss, and he's done it! Randy Johnson has 300!
All of Randy's hard work paid off in the Mariners' dream season of 1995. His 18-2 record led to the Cy Young Award, his first and first ever for a Mariner.
Now the left-hander ready. Branding iron hot. The 1-2 pitch, Kane! Frustration is over.
When the fans get into it, they cheer and they give you inspiration and adrenaline. A lot of times across the street in the Kingdom, when I had a hitter 0-2 or 2-2 in a situation to strike out, the fans were always standing and cheering.
Oh man, on their feet the whole time.
Fans, especially here in Seattle, had a huge impact on my success, and I'm truly and will always be thankful. And like I said, sincerely, this is my home away from home.
And they're gonna go down and get the big guy, Randy Johnson, and listen to this ovation when the Cy Young is called in. Listen to this.
for 22 years in the major leagues. That's what it's about for me today. Giving the correct giving the recognition that they so rightly deserve. First, I'd like to thank all the sports writers for voting me into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Thank you. Secondly, I'd like to thank the Hall of Fame executives and staff. Jane, you have brought hospitality to a new level for my family, guests, and me. Thank you. I never thought I would be on this stage, baseball's greatest fraternity, and it's humbling to look behind me and see the best who have ever played this game. I had the honor of playing against many of these gentlemen, some I watched on TV. But it would have been really fun to face you, Reggie. My journey in baseball lasted 44 years. I started when I was 7 years old, playing Little League Baseball in Livermore, California, a small little town. Went from Little League to Babe Ruth to high school. I'd like to say thank you to Steve Fallon and his mom, Betty, for coming all the way from California, from Livermore, to be here. Thank you. After my time in Livermore, California was over, it was a decision I had to make. I got drafted by the Atlanta Braves, and I also had an opportunity to go to college. I chose to go to college and further my education. I played for the legendary baseball coach Rod Dedeaux at USC. A few of my teammates are here. Thanks for being here, Albie, Phil, Randy. You've traveled a long ways. Thank you. I didn't learn how to throw a lot of strikes there, but I did learn how to take a few pitchers, and that's my passion today and always has been and always will be. After USC, I was drafted 1985 by the Montreal Expos. The first team that gave me an opportunity to play in the major leagues. I'm forever indebted to them. As you know, my minor league career was not stellar. It took me 4 years in the minor leagues to finally get a call-up in 1988 as a September call-up. I relished that moment, getting to pitch in Montreal against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The following year, 89, didn't go so well. I got sent back down to the minor leagues. Then I was part of a trade from Montreal to Seattle that would bring Mark Langston from Seattle to Montreal and myself, Brian Holman, and Gene Harris to Seattle. And Brian Holman's here with his wife, Jamie. Thank you for traveling so far away to be here on this important day to meet Jamie and Brian. The trade to Seattle set my career in motion. It was my apprenticeship, 10 years there. I played with King Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez, Omar Vizquel, Dan Wilson, and so many more. King Griffey Jr. will for surely be here next year. There were some lean years there in Seattle as we were learning how to play our game. Lou Piniella came into place. And refuse to lose became our motto in 1995. With his leadership and his guidance, we came down in 95 to a one-game playoff. Ironically enough, I would pitch against the same gentleman that I got traded for to Montreal, Mark Langston, in a one-game playoff for the AL West. Very magical moment for Seattle, and very proud to have played there for 10 years. Thank you, Seattle. I'd also like to thank ownership for being here on this important day to me. Howard Lincoln, Chris Larson, Randy Adamack, Kevin Martinez, and one of only a few catchers that could handle me over my 22-year career and understand me, Dan Wilson and his wife, Annie.
I just wish everybody could experience the feeling that I'm having now. There'll never be anything like it again in my lifetime. And about a month ago, I was standing behind the batting cage at Yankee Stadium and asked Reggie Jackson just what advice he would give me on this exact moment. Now I know it was very sage advice. He said, don't look behind you or you don't have a chance. It can be very intimidating. Can it ever? Those are real baseball cards back there that, and a lot of them made such sweet sound in my bicycle spokes many years ago. And it blows my mind to see them sitting here behind me today. When one receives an ultimate honor like this, the fear is that you are going to forget to thank someone. And to him or her, I hereby already apologize. Come with me now to the front porch of 625 Northwest Street, Princeton, Indiana. A 1946 on a hot, sultry July evening, just like today, about 8:30 at night, and an 11-year-old boy is chasing lightning bugs and capturing them in a mason jar that had holes punched into it with an ice pick. Every once in a while, he would squish one between his thumb and forefinger just to see the glow. Now, come on now, you know you've done that too. Dad is sitting on the porch with a cold slice of watermelon on one knee and a hot ear of buttered corn on the other, with a cold beverage sitting on the ground. And suddenly, from the old Zenith floor model radio in the living room, comes this voice screaming, it might be, it could be, it is. And the young boy jumps about 3 or 4 inches off the ground with each halting phrase. Magic is happening in St. Louis, Missouri. Stan Musial has hit another home run about a zillion miles away, and a career has germinated that ends up here in Cooperstown today. Your first thoughts on a day like this go out to your most dearly beloved ones. On a summer evening in 1963, I had a date with a beautiful girl. I was going to take her to Dodger Stadium to see again Stan Musial make his final appearance in Los Angeles. I took her to dinner first, asked her to marry me, and never made it to the game. And here she sits, 45 years later. I wouldn't be here without you, Marilyn. You gave me 2 sons and a daughter, and they have given me 6 fabulous grandchildren. How lucky can a man be? To quote A. Bartlett Giamatti, the real activity was done with the radio, not the seeing, all falsifying television, and was the playing of the game in the only place it will last, the enclosed green field of the mind. Radio plays with the mind. It gives you a mental workout and delusions of grandeur. That's what Harry Carey did to me. My dad took me to my first big league ballpark at Old Sportsman's Park in St. Louis, probably, I don't know, 1947, 48. And quite frankly, I was never so disappointed in my life. Carey had put these guys on such a pedestal, I just knew it was a Parthenon, and I was going to, and not a ballpark. You know what? Years later, I know I was right on both counts. Once you're bitten by the baseball bug, it never goes away. And that's what happened to me. After college, I was drafted into the Army, and after basic training, I was assigned to the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. And after 6 weeks of on-the-job training, I was sent to New York City to finish out my tour of military duty at 57th and Broadway in the Fisk Building. Tough duty, to be sure. Casey Stengel befriended this lonely GI and talked baseball into the wee hours of the morning one day. After Uncle Sam was done with me, he asked me if I would work for him as a civilian back in Los Angeles, which I did for some 6 years, broadcasting for AFRS as a civilian to the Angels, the Dodgers, the Lakers, you name it, the best experience a young man could get. Along came 1966, and I hooked up with Golden West Broadcasters, owned by the legendary Gene Autry, who, of course, owned the Angels. 10 years later, when I joined the Mariners, Gene said to me, David, you call a hell of a game. Not the game I'm watching, but a hell of a game. So maybe I'm representing the guys that have added a little whipped cream and cherry to the great game of baseball, for which I plead guilty and I'm very proud. I've been blessed with incredibly talented partners. Dick Enberg, Hall of Famer Don Drysdale, one of my best friends. Wish he could be here today. Buddy Blattner, Don Wells, guy who's like a brother to me for 14 years, Ron Fairley. My current crew in Seattle, the best. Rick Riz, Mike Blowers, and Dave Sims. My first partner in Seattle. Ken Wilson is filling in for me today in Toronto. And I don't want to forget him, or the world's best radio producer, Kevin Kremen. I've been very lucky with ownerships, all of them. After the original ownership, Ambassador George Ardrus bought the ball club, then Jeff Smullyan, and finally, the current group, headed by Hiroshi Yamauchi, Howard Lincoln, Chris Larson, President Chuck Armstrong, Chairman Emeritus John Ellis. I thank all of you. I owe all of you my career. Millions of fans from the Northwest stand here with me today. Believe me, without them, I wouldn't be here today. Over the years, they have been my biggest supporters, and they've been loyal to the Mariners throughout thick and thin. And there was never a doubt in my mind about Seattle being big league territory. From the first pitch, Diego Segui, through to Jerry Remy 32 years ago, it's been quite a ride, and it's not over yet. Believe me, the best is yet to come. Cooperstown makes your heart soar while buckling your knees. Nothing will ever replace this moment for those of us on this stage. To Dick Williams, this is long overdue. Talk to the winners who played for him, and they'll swear he's the best there ever was. Although there are a few who would run him down with a car. An incredible man, Dick Williams. I was lucky to be with him in two places, in Anaheim and in Seattle. So, Goose Gossage, closing out his career with the Mariners in 1994, not only closed out his career with pride, but class. And he was a mentor and a pro's pro. I'll never forget one incident. He won't either. There was a number one draft choice in the bullpen with Gossage. His name will be omitted here. He talked a great game. And finally, Goose went up to this kid and said, just how many Cy Young Awards have you won anyway? And that was the last time you ever heard him chirping. My thanks to Lou Piniella for sharing 10 wonderful years of his life with me. Your legacy will live on forever with the Mariners. And finally, I know there are several bigger names who have preceded me in winning this award. There will be several bigger names after me to win this award. But no one will ever be more appreciative. Thank you very much.